So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, it's Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings, and I want to welcome you back to the show. Did you ever have something just like really weird happen that just it doesn't make any sense? Something appears magically out of nowhere and you can't explain it? Well, I just had that happen to me about maybe half an hour, 45 minutes ago. I was leaving out of the grocery store, and I turned onto the road, and I was doing, I don't know, maybe 25 miles an hour or so, and all of a sudden something landed on my windshield. And I thought it was a dead cicada, because they come out near this time of year. And I came to a stop at a traffic light, and I looked, and it was a little tree frog. I didn't drive under any trees. This place was wide open. All of a sudden, this frog lands on my windshield. So, I don't know, I was about maybe 4 miles away from the house, so I go through traffic. I got to about 40 miles an hour, and the thing hung on there. I got about half a mile away from the house, and it finally jumped off. But there was absolutely no place this thing could have come from. It had to have leapt from the side of the road, and I don't know how high. I mean, because it came down, it looked like it fell out of the sky. And I don't know. That's bizarre, to have something just do that. But I have had things fall out of the sky before. Now, in 1996, I was on my way to lunch one day at work. I was taking my lunch break, and I was on my motorcycle, and I was riding down the road, and I was out. There was nothing there. I wasn't in the middle of nowhere, because there were some businesses and things there, but it was kind of woodsy on one side, and there was a trucking company on the other, and I happened to look up, and I saw a little rock falling out of the sky. There was no traffic going by where it would have kicked up a piece of gravel. This thing was falling out of the sky, and I was wearing an open-faced helmet. Thank God I was wearing sunglasses, because it hit me right between my sunglasses and my helmet in the middle of my forehead, and it sounded like somebody had whacked a watermelon with an axe handle. It almost knocked me out. I don't know. What are the chances of you being struck in the forehead by a meteor while riding a motorcycle? I don't know. Probably the same chances as having a frog land on your windshield that falls out of the sky, too. I don't know. It's bizarre, folks. These things happen to people, and you... Well, no, that can't be real. Well, when it happens to you, sometimes the darndest things actually really happen. George is trying to get my attention here. It what? Oh. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. George suggested that perhaps that tree frog was on the roof of my car when I pulled out of the grocery store, and that it leaped from the roof onto the windshield, which is why it appeared to fall straight down out of the sky and land on the windshield. That's actually a really good observation, George. I hadn't thought of that. So, yeah, that may be what happened. Anyway, still kind of a mystery, but kind of interesting to be driving around town with a frog stuck on your windshield. But again, like I said, it was not a rock falling out of the sky. And that was just the absolute most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me. But let's get on to North Korea real quick and get that knocked out of the way. Because that moron is still at it. I mean, he's not going to go away until he's taken out. I mean, there's absolutely no way around that, I don't think, at this point. I think it's escalated too far. Now, Donald Trump referred to him as Rocket Man, which I thought was really funny. You know, Elton John lives in Trump Tower, and quite often Donald Trump will make references to songs that are Elton John songs. Now, maybe that's because Elton John lives there, and he figures if he gives him some free publicity, people will buy more songs, or they'll play them more on the radio, and then he'll be sure to get his rent. I don't know. But either way, very interesting that he referred to him as Rocket Man. And then, of course, he was called a dough turd in response, which is funny because actually dough turd does actually mean something pretty negative in English, too. I certainly wouldn't want to be called a dough turd or a horse turd or a cow turd or anything else. So he said that he is going to test fire a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific. That is extremely concerning. That hasn't happened for many, many decades. They've been underground tests only, and the reason for that is because of the danger of fallout. It also depends upon how high over the Pacific he detonates this. Is it going to be on an atoll? Is it going to be 100 feet, 1,000 feet, 10 miles, 20 miles? Remember, folks, the higher you go, the greater the range of the electromagnetic pulse. And detonating a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific at a high enough altitude could devastate Hawaii or Guam electromagnetically. That is a huge concern. Now, in response to that, we have ramped up our patrols, and actually I told you last week about the flyovers that we were doing with the B-1Bs and the F-15s, and by the way, I said those were both bombers. I was looking at the B at the end of F-15. B, F, of course, is a fighter, so my mistake on there. Nobody corrected me on that, incidentally, but that was a mistake on my part. So they were showing the superior force that we have in the air with our bombers and our fighters. We're sending him a message. If you do this, we are going to take action, and the Chinese can go sit on it. They're not going to do anything if we do something to North Korea. They just cannot afford to get into a war with us. It would be much, much cheaper for them to get into a war with North Korea than it would with the United States. So I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so enough of the fat little pot-belly pig with the bad haircut. I did have a couple people get in touch with me, knowing the area of the country that I was in, wanting to know how I fared the hurricane, Hurricane Irma. And by the time it got here, it was a huge disappointment as far as hurricanes go. We got some light, steady rain and torrential downpours occasionally, but for the most part, it was just a light rain for about 12 or 14 hours. And the terrifying wind speeds of about 2 to 3 miles per hour. So we fared very well. Thank you for those of you who contacted me wanting to know how things went. It was the people in Florida that got absolutely devastated, of course, with Puerto Rico. I mean, Puerto Rico is pretty much wiped from the map. And even now, I mean, they're still flooding and with problems with the dams. And it's just a really, really bad situation down there. Just about everybody is out of power, and it's going to take 4 to 6 months before power is restored there. And fortunately, Puerto Rico is sort of like a third world country. It's a third world territory. So they're used to dealing with backwards type technology. So they may do okay. If that were to happen here in the United States, we're without power for 4 to 6 months, absolute chaos. Deaths in the millions is what would end up happening here. Fortunately, that did not happen here, and the devastation was pretty much contained to a territory that really can't fend for itself to begin with. I mean, all their power is above ground. There's nothing that's underground, so it's extremely susceptible to being blown over by winds. Now, the one good thing about that, I suppose, is that the wires would pretty much still be intact. All they'd have to do would be to hook them back together once they got some new poles put up. But still, that's a long, long time. And you think they would learn. I mean, their infrastructure is a lot worse than the general infrastructure of the United States in general. Maybe this is an opportunity for them to modernize, but there's something like what is it, $80 billion in debt or some ridiculous thing. And that's really why they want to become a state, so that we'll absorb all their debt. But so far that hasn't happened. But just imagine if every state were in debt like that. I mean, where would this country be? That's just completely unacceptable. But again, thank you to everyone who got in touch with me regarding that. And also, I got an email from a fellow named Mike up in New York. Now, Mike is the most common name of people that get in touch with me. And I think there's three people named Mike that email me regularly. One's in New York, one's, I want to say, Pennsylvania, Ohio, somewhere up in there, and then one out in California. So anyway, Mike from New York sent me an email, of course, wanting to know how everything had happened down here, how we'd fared, but also had some concerns regarding the alt-right. And he gave me a link to altright.com to a specific article that he wanted me to look at because he is of the opinion that the alt-right is very pro-communist. So I wanted to take a couple minutes here and address the concerns, the issues that Mike had with the alt-right. Let me just go ahead and read this email from him. He says, "Good afternoon. Hope this mail finds you and your family well. Did you have any damage to your properties due to the hurricanes up here in New York? We got nothing despite what we were told." Okay. Or we went over that. Anyway, this is his own words now. "Anyway, I was wondering, the alt-right, what do you know about them? I ask because I am confused and suspicious of them. The reason I say this is because I have gone to the alt-right's website," not KKK Radio's website, and he gives the link. "I have noticed that the alt-right is pro-communist. Case in point, Ukraine. I am 52% Ukrainian ancestry. The people in eastern Ukraine are communist separatist terrorists. They openly fly the USSR Soviet-era flag. They wear CCCP rings, have photos of Stalin, and openly admit to wanting a restoration of the Soviet Union. The Ukraine is the largest, whitest country in all of Europe. Russia is not. Russia is 60% in China and 40% in Europe. Their population is very mixed. 20 million Muslims, thousands of Africans, thousands of Asians. Basically, what I'm asking is this. What is the alt-right's obsession with Russia? I heard some say Russia holds the keys to the white race's survival, which it does not. Putin is a Russian nationalist, not a white nationalist. Two different things. I also pointed this out to the League of the South's Dr. Hill from the League of the South. He and his organization are showing support for these communist separatists in eastern Ukraine until I pointed out to him that they were communists." So that was a very interesting email that I got from Mike. So I went to the website and I looked up the article that he was referring to, and it didn't really strike me that they're supporting communism as much as the fact that they were showing support for the white people who were there. They may be communists. I'd have to look more into the website to see if there is that lean that he seems to feel that there is. If there is, then I'll go over that in more detail on a different show. But from what I saw, at least in the article, it looks to me, again, like they're just showing support for the white brethren. The fact that some of them may be communists didn't really come up in the article in particular that I was looking at. So I just wanted to address that to Mike and kind of give him some feedback on that. I will look into this in more detail and again see if I can find the ties that you were mentioning. Because if that is the case, then that does need to be brought up so that people have a better idea of exactly who the alt-right actually is. Got to take a break here. I will be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message a hope, and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com, and remember to always be prepared.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. So I came across this article online that explains why a cop will tap your taillight when he pulls you over. Now, have you ever been pulled over? I think we've all been pulled over at some point in time in our lives. Now, I've never received a citation when I've been pulled. I've been pulled usually for exceeding the posted speed limit, but it's nothing major. Now, I did pull out in front of a cop one time in an ice storm. There was a layer of ice on the road, and I thought that he was staying put, so I started to pull out, and as soon as I saw that he was moving, I knew better than to hit the brakes. I probably would have skidded into him, so I just floored it and kept on going. I wasn't even completely in front of him before he lit me up. So I rolled my window down, and he came up, and of course I had my wallet open. He could see the badge. He said, "You know why I pulled you?" I said, "Oh yeah." I said, "But as soon as I saw you," I said, "it was too late. I figured it was safer to keep going than to try and stop." He goes, "So you know why I pulled you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, have a great day," and let me go. No big deal. Now, another time back in 2004, I was going up to Long Island. I was doing a job out in the Hamptons, and I was driving along Interstate 81 in Virginia, and it was about 6:30 in the morning, so my foot was getting kind of heavy. I wasn't really paying attention. There was a guy behind me, and all of a sudden, we both got lit up. I looked down. I was doing 83 miles an hour in, I believe there it's still 65, I don't think, it may be 70. Either way, I was going considerably over the posted speed limit. So I pulled over, rolled the window down, of course had the wallet open. He asked me who I was with. I explained everything to him. I said I was just, you know, the guy was behind me. I was trying to get past traffic, you know, so I could move back over. He goes, "Okay." So he was gone for a while. He wrote the other guy up, and once the guy was on his way, then he turned off his lights, because that turns off your dash cam. So he came back up to me on the passenger side. I rolled the window down. And he leaned in, holding my driver's license. I went to take it, and he wouldn't let go of it. He said, in the future, the next time you feel that someone is following too close and you feel the need to move over, you may want to do it before you've gone a mile past any other car on the highway. Yes, sir. So off I went. So I've never had any issues. You know, when they come up behind, I've never, ever had an officer tap my taillight. So I was kind of surprised to see this story, because it's never happened to me. I have a Blue Line production sticker on the back window. I always have the window down. If it's at night, I have the lights turned on. I always have my hands on the steering wheel because I'm always armed. And this is a sign that they recognize. And if you're cooperating that much to begin with and you have a Blue Line sticker on the back, I mean, it's a pretty safe bet that they're okay. So I've never had them do this. But apparently, it was common practice that started back, I guess, in the 1950s. For a cop to come up behind you and tap your taillight. And I read the article, and there were several reasons for this. The first one, everybody always assumed it was to check and see if the taillight was broken, to see if it was functioning properly, because most states have laws regarding non-functioning taillights. North Carolina may be the only one that doesn't, because it's written up in the North Carolina General Statutes, vehicle must have a functioning taillight, singular, not taillights, plural. So as long as you have just one taillight going on the back of your car, it's legal in the state of North Carolina. I do know North Carolina law. I don't know other states' laws, but I do know North Carolina law up one side and down the other. So it had nothing to do with checking for the functionality of the taillight. Another misconception was that they might be carrying contraband behind the taillight. It might make a different noise when they tapped on it. No. Apparently, it was done for a number of reasons, and it all had to do with the officer's safety. First of all, by touching the taillight, of course, this before the advent of dash cams, but by touching the taillight, it left his fingerprints on the vehicle. So if you ran him over or shot him, killed him, whatever, they could find his fingerprints on your car, which is why you'll sometimes notice that as a cop comes down the side of your car, and this I have noticed, that they will kind of drag their hand down the side of the car, leaving DNA and fingerprints down the side of your car. Another reason was that when they leaned over to tap the taillight, they could see into the back seat. It also gave them the opportunity to push down on the trunk and see if it was not latched securely in the event that someone might pop out of the trunk and assault them. Another thing that it did was to set people off guard, because having somebody come up and start whacking your car, you're going to look over your shoulder to see where the noise is coming from, and that kind of puts you on the defensive. It gives them the upper hand. It's also very difficult to kind of turn around and shoot over your shoulder and accurately hit them, because if this happened at night and you were a bad guy with a gun, and the officer was tapping the back of your car, you could hear where the sound was coming from and fire at it. So that's one reason that this practice is kind of discouraged now. There are still cops that do it, but again, I've never had this happen to me, but it was very, very interesting to learn the history of this, because I'm not out on the street, I'm in the woods. So my training is entirely different from that of a regular officer. So I was not aware of this practice until today, and it seems like it did have merit when it first started, but now it's become obsolete with the advent of dash cams that can record everything that's going on. And another thing that I found out that they stopped doing this for was when you're leaning over behind the car, if they inadvertently throw it into reverse, you can be run over. So what a lot of times they'll do now is to come and, as I said, drag their hand down the side of the vehicle. That leaves fingerprints, but it also allows them to feel the car start to move before it actually does, so that they can get out of the way. And it puts DNA on the car without putting them in harm's way by leaning down behind it. So very interesting article that I came across there regarding cops tapping the taillight. Again, I've never had it happen to me. If you've ever had it happen to you, you know, drop me a line and let me know what your situation and circumstances were, because I'd be curious to know what the difference is. Well, we still have a few minutes left, so I'm going to finish up the show by giving you a few more tips on dealing with a police officer if you're ever pulled over. Because, excuse me, as we have seen recently, if you make the wrong move or you make a mistake, it can cost you your life if the officer feels that his life or safety is in potential jeopardy. So the first thing you do when you're pulled over, put it in park and make sure it's completely in park, not in reverse so that it can slip out and roll backwards and hit the officer. Make sure it's in park. Roll down your window. If it's at night, turn on your overhead light so that they can see inside the car and see that you're not moving, see that there's nobody in the back seat. Do not reach for your wallet. They see you fumbling around, they're going to think you're hiding drugs or you're stashing a gun or maybe you're getting a gun. The only time you should pull your wallet out is if you open it up and there's something there that they can recognize and identify that you're one of the good guys, which is why I always have my wallet open. I would not recommend that you do that. Keep both hands on the steering wheel, whether you have a gun or not, most especially if you have a gun. Now, I carry mine on the side of the console, down next to the shift lever. I fastened a holster on there, a rigid holster with a release button. That's in case I ever get overturned or something, my gun won't fall on top of my head and do some serious damage to me. It will stay in place. So I always tell them, as soon as they approach, for your information, there's a loaded 9mm on the side of the console. My hands are still on the steering wheel. And that's always fine. If I don't have the gun, then I'll have the wallet open then. Otherwise, keep both hands on the steering wheel. They ask for my driver's license, registration. I then very slowly reach for my wallet, open it up. They see the badge. It strikes up a conversation. Sometimes they'll still want to see the registration just to make sure. And I am very careful to point out where the firearm is and inform them that I am going to have to lean over the weapon to get to my registration. As long as you advise them of what you're doing, you're fine. I got pulled over on a motorcycle one time because I'd failed to put my new registration sticker on the tag. And I had all that in my saddlebag. And I told them, I said, as soon as I opened it up, I said, look, there is a loaded 40 Smith & Wesson sitting in here. He said, okay. So I said, I'm going to have to pick it up to get to the registration. He said, that's fine. He didn't have a problem with it because I told him that it was there. He was made aware of the situation, and he knew I wasn't going to tell him that I had a gun if I had any intention of using it. He didn't get concerned. He didn't put his hand on his weapon. I picked the gun up, set it down on the seat of the bike, and proceeded to get the registration. So as long as you follow some simple rules, don't make any fast movements. Don't look around. Don't look like you're nervous. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Get the car lit up if it's at night. Be very polite by all means. Don't be rude or belligerent. Even if you feel you were pulled over in error, be very polite. Be very respectful. Whatever the officer tells you to do, comply. All right? That's just a few simple tips for keeping you alive and safe on the road because down the road, folks, so we're probably going to need you on our side when it hits the fan, all right? So until next week, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, you take care. Out for now.